Hey, before we get started, I just want to let you know that we do have a broadcast version of this podcast. So when we're showing clips and things of that nature, it may be hard to see the point of illustration without actually watching the clip. So if you'd like to check out the broadcast version of this podcast, please head to youtube.com/WeTheExiles. Enjoy the show.
Oh, wow. Gold glitter coming from the ventilation system. Is this the presence of God? This and more on the We The Exiles podcast.
We will not, build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We The Exiles podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Wood, along with my brother and co-host, Chandler Wood.
Hey, hey.
We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray Jesus Christ may be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth. Well, there are just some things that is really hard to explain. For instance, check this out.
And so this is what God has done. He has taken our greatest enemy. Isn't that cool? He has taken our greatest enemy, death. And he said, and listen, don't be fooled today into thinking you're never going to die. Unless the rapture comes, this might come as a shock to you, but the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. You are going to die. Great news for Easter, right? And that brings us a certain element of anxiety. But although we're going to experience a time... Oh! Isn't that cool?
Isn't that cool? I just wish that I could see the rest of the clip, what happened after he fell.
Yeah, I actually read under there, if you go to the clip or share the resource, you can. It says where you can find it. I didn't notice that until today when I was looking at it, but it says you can go to this archive on this page and watch the whole sermon. I might have to do that for some entertainment.
Very interesting.
Yeah. But like you said, that is a difficult one to explain. We've discussed before our dislikes of props being used in sermons. That's a great example of why it's just silly. They're not needed.
Yeah.
At least from my opinion, I would say. You may have seen that clip before, but we recently came across it because we were visiting with a former pastor of ours, Kevin Ivey, and he shared it with us. And speaking of that visit, we were up there because Kevin is at a church in FBC Tullahoma, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and he was. He asked us to come up there to do a job. We do video production, as some of you are aware. We did this job for him for their church, a welcome video we're putting together. And so we were hanging out with him. While we were there, we also got to sit down with him and talk with him on a subject we wanted to do for this podcast. We're going to actually make a separate video, not sure exactly the timeline of release, hopefully very soon. But we sat down with him because we wanted to discuss with him this topic of what we call the pendulum swing of theological understanding. It's like the fact that you can swing so far right and be so fixed on doctrine and theology that the realities of grace are distant. And then, you know, the fact that you can swing to the left so far that you forget that Christ didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. So really good conversation. It ended up going a lot longer, as things do with what we do, a lot longer than anticipated. But really good discussion there. We cover some pastoral journeys that he's been on, or the pastoral journey he's been on as well in that. And we just thought that it was a beneficial discussion that we would like to share with you guys.
So be on the lookout for that. Also, a few quick things. We recently released our first Mug Talk last week. It was this week.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, we're going to be releasing one every Tuesday, and it's for our supporters only through Patreon.com. It's just kind of an extension podcast, and it's not scripted. We just kind of have a chit chat on different discussions. And if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to our channel and share, like, comment, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So again, thank you guys for joining us on the We the Exiles podcast. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Where did you get that mug?
This thing? I thought you'd never ask. I got this sweet mug becoming a supporter of the We the Exiles podcast over at patreon.com. Becoming a supporter is easy. For only $10 a month, you can support the ministry of We the Exiles.
Only $10?
That's right. Not only do I feel satisfied drinking out of this amazing mug, it brings me great joy knowing that I'm supporting a Christ-exalting ministry. So head on over to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/WeTheExiles, and become an exile today.
Order up!
The main dish!
According to Titus 1:7-11, as an overseer of God's household, he must be blameless, not arrogant, not hot-tempered, not an excessive drinker, not a bully, not greedy for money, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, righteous, holy, self-controlled, holding to the faithful message as taught, so that he will be able both to encourage with sound teaching and to refute those who contradict it. For there are many rebellious people, full of empty talk and deception, especially those from the circumcision party. It is necessary to silence them. They are ruining entire households by teaching what they shouldn't in order to get money dishonestly. Over the years, there has been much talk about the prosperity gospel, the idea that salvation in Christ is what you need to be granted anything you desire. Almost as if Christ is this genie meant to be at your beck and call. Today we want to look at a somewhat extension of this called the NAR, or New Apostolic Reformation. This movement, borrowing some ideals from the prosperity gospel teachers, is more focused on the prophetic and healing. Though you might be unaware of the terminology, you might be aware of the names of some of the big proponents of this movement. Names like Bethel, Jesus Culture, IHOP, and Hillsong. If you look on your screen here, you should see this article. Let me pull it up here. Getting it pulled up. It's going to be on the Berean. Comes from BereanResearch.org. And here we go. Yeah, so you should see this now on your screen. It says the New Apostolic Reformation is a dominant movement which asserts that God is restoring the lost offices of church governance, namely the office of prophet and apostle. Leading figures in this seemingly loosely organized movement claim that these prophets and apostles alone have the power and authority to execute God's plan and purposes on earth. They believe they are laying the foundation for a global church governed by them. They place a greater emphasis on dreams, visions, and extra-biblical revelation than they do on the Bible, claiming that their revealed teachings and reported experiences, examples, trips to heaven, face-to-face conversations with Jesus, and visits by angels, cannot be proven by the old scripture source. Here's a quote from John MacArthur. NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, is like grape nuts. It's grapes and it's not grapes and it's not nuts. It's like Christian Science. It's not Christian and it's not science. Well, the New Apostolic Reformation isn't new. It isn't apostolic and it isn't a reformation, but it is a radically expanding movement being generated by some of the same old troubling false teachers and false leaders that have been around in Charismania for decades. Always dishonoring the Holy Spirit, always dishonoring the Scripture, and always claiming miracle signs, wonders, visions, and dreams. So at its core, just like any movement prostituting the gospel for its own selfish gain, the NAR is really against biblical truth and sola scriptura. It is against in Christ alone, and it is against true gospel teaching. As we take a look at this movement, I do want to share that our goal is never to tear a person or ministry down, but to be faithful in refuting those who contradict Scripture. We hope and pray that if you are caught up in this movement, that you would take this discussion not as a direct onslaught attack, but rather a loving call to return to sound teaching. Christ is King, and His gospel is sweet. Let us always remember that it is in Christ alone, it's in Christ alone who can save, and in Him alone do we have any right to declare truth. We're going to take a look at a few clips, though there are many online, of some teachers in this movement. And then we're going to discuss in further detail how dangerous this movement really is.
This first clip we're going to look at is from Bill Johnson. He's out of Redding, California with Bethel Church. We're going to take a look, and then we'll discuss.
You know, it's just signs that make you wonder. And it's really a big deal that we have things we can't explain or understand or control. I've wondered if it's okay for us to run to a corner of a room and stand and watch and take pictures. I think he rather enjoys it. I think as long as we don't prostitute it for our glory, as long as we give him glory and celebrate, it feels like children, you know, just discovering him. You know, we don't seek for signs, but we don't ignore them either. It's kind of dumb if he shows up in a cloud, you go, I don't want to be distracted. I invite all of his distractions. The church has been gathering together for decades around a sermon. Israel camped around the presence. And we've known that there are some dramatic shifts that are going to take place in how we do life, how we do church. The presence of God is the greatest gift we have. And to shut everything else down because of that is absolutely worth it to me. It's the joy of our heart to celebrate Him, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that for whatever reason decides to show up. You say, well, why doesn't He show up in a way that He can be visibly recognized? He told Israel, He said, I was in the cloud and I did not let you see any form, because I knew you to be an idolatrous people, and you would create an idol after the image you saw. And so the lack of clarity sometimes is, He's not punishing us. He's just letting us, He's wanting to give us as much as can bless us and promote us without destroying us. And so what's happening tonight is the church is camping around the presence. We may not have an idea, a clue what we're doing. And we certainly don't know what to do next. But finally, the main thing has become the main thing.
Yeah, they have a clue of what they're doing. They're manipulating people with false signs. And it's funny because in there he mentions, we don't seek signs. Well, you're making up signs.
And he said that the reason that God came in a cloud was because they were an idolatrous people. We're going to talk about that in a second. Well, what they're doing is idolatry of their own kind anyway. So it's funny because it kind of, his own explanation is an argument against what they're doing. So he has no clue what he's doing.
First, what is the one thing that we notice about this clip and the so-called glory cloud they are experiencing? No scripture to back it up. This is the biggest part of expositional teaching, is to always point back to the central part of our faith, the gospel.
Right.
Psalm 15 says, Lord, who can dwell in your tent? Who can live on your holy mountain? The one who lives blamelessly, practices righteousness, and acknowledges the truth in his heart. Who does not slander with his tongue? Who does not harm his friend or discredit his neighbor? Who despises the one rejected by the Lord, but honors those who fear the Lord? Who keeps his word, whatever the cost? Who does not lend his silver at interest or take a bribe against the innocent? The one who does these things will never be shaken.
Yeah, number one, you can't be in the presence of God without first being holy like he is. We know as Christians our righteousness can solely come, it solely comes through Jesus Christ alone. Even with Christ as our righteousness, we still have earthly bodies that aren't perfectly holy, which is why it's important to understand, though we are justified by our faith in Christ, we are continually being made holy in our lives until the day we will be fully sanctified, and that is with the return of Christ. Even if we look at scriptures with relation to God's glory manifested, you will see differing results than you would in that clip that we just watched. 2 Chronicles 5:14 says, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. See, these holy sanctified priests couldn't stand to bear and minister in his presence. So tell me, how is Bill Johnson able to do so? And then Isaiah 6:4-5, and the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The difference here is a man broken over his filthy sin before a holy God. And let me ask you, this is just watching the clip, do you see a people, anyone, in that clip reacting with hearts of repentance?
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, to me, it wouldn't even take just a secular person to walk in there and realize, hey, this is actually probably just gold dust or gold glitter that they put in the ventilation system. It's like not hard to figure out.
Yeah, and I know that if you've been around that at all, or if you even watch shows similar to ours that kind of examine these things, you know, you've probably seen that or you've heard of that, because that's just, I mean, that's a big ordeal. That's not just something you naturally see. So we're not just trying to pull out the big stuff. We're just trying to make an example out of that by showing, you know, this is the type of things go on. There are plenty of other examples in relation
to
that.
And not that there's not any in the NAR that's not questioning these certain things, but what you find most of the time is that you can do whatever and claim it as a sign from God, or that you heard something from God, and it's not questioned. 9 times out of 10, it's not questioned within that community, which is cult-like. But the next clip we want to move to is Mike Bickle, who is the founder of IHOP, the International House of Prayer out of Kansas City. So here is a vision that he had for America.
I had my first open vision that I've ever had in 30 years of ministry. What I mean by an open vision? I've had a handful of pretty dramatic supernatural experiences, 5 or 10 of them. I'm talking about in 30 years. Very dramatic. But the other day, a couple weeks ago, I was in prayer at my house. I've never had anything like this happen. I am praying, and right in front of me is a full movie screen. I've never had this happen. I've heard about it before. I stare. I don't know what's happening. I'm in a room by myself. I go, it's on the wall. It's like 3 by 3 feet. I rub my eyes. I look to the right. It's wall. I look to it. It's movie screen. I look to the left. It's wall. I look back. It's movie screen. I go, I am having an open vision. These things are real. Again, I've had 5 or 10 supernatural experiences in 10 years. I don't want to be a cynic, but most supernatural experiences I hear about, I don't believe. Most people that tell me, I just don't believe them. I think, nope, lie, hamburger helper, exaggeration, fake, hype, no. And I'm in the middle of a lot of prophetic people, nope, yuck, gross. That's how I feel about most of what I hear. But there are some true ones in the land, but most of what's going forth in the prophetic really kind of makes my stomach hurt, to be honest. Most of it's embarrassing, ridiculous, peripheral. I mean, completely side issues that aren't even on God's heart. I go, what are they talking about? But there is the real in the land. But anyway, having said that, I'm having this vision, and I said to myself, these things are real. What was the vision? Real simple. Tanks were coming in mass across America. And I look at that, and I said, Lord, what does this mean? I didn't get anything. I just saw it. I just want to tell you what I saw. Tanks were coming in mass across America. Surely it's martial law. But beloved, I am convinced it's more than martial law. In September 2005, it's my other big experience in the last few years, I saw an angel with my eyes. This is right. This is, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime deal too. I've had two once-in-a-lifetime deals in the last... This was September 2005. I looked up, and with my eyes, not in a dream, not in a vision, with my eyes wide open, I saw an angel stand in my room. 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. I didn't really look at the clock, but it was middle of the night. And he put a trumpet to his mouth. This angel did. And the trumpet did not touch his lips. And I am staring, and again, I am completely captivated. I can't believe I'm seeing an angel. I can't even see what he's doing because I'm so confused that I'm seeing this. And I'm staring. He does not look at me. He looks straight up. He puts his mouth. The trumpet does not touch his lips. Then it goes away. I thought, whoa, what was that? A moment later, he's back. He's not looking at me. He's looking in another direction. He puts the trumpet to his mouth. Does not touch his lips. I am so in turmoil. I'm obviously wide awake, but I'm in turmoil. I go, I don't know what's going on. And then a moment later, it happened the third time. Obviously, I'm up for the day. I go in the other room. I go, what is this? This is September 2005. It's the only time I've ever seen an angel face to face awake. Had an angelic experience or two in a dream state, one or two over the years. Face to face, awake. I mean, he didn't look at me, but I looked at him. And clearly from Numbers 10, the trumpet has two big meanings, more, but two big meanings. The trumpet is the warning that disaster is coming, and the trumpet is the rallying call to gather to the temple, to the house of prayer. And the meaning was clear. Two things are happening in the land right now. Disaster is coming, along with the glory of God. There will be moments of disaster that are far beyond 9-1-1 and Katrina. Disasters far beyond them are coming to America. And a great revival is coming to America. But also, the trumpet does not just mean disaster. It means, I will rally the houses of prayer. I will blow my trumpet. The intercessors will gather. They will fill stadiums. They will fill back rooms in the marketplace. They will fill auditoriums in the high schools. I am blowing a trumpet myself, says the Lord, and I will gather the people and solemn assemblies, one-day-long solemn assemblies, 21-day solemn assemblies. They are going to fill the land in this season that's ahead of us, in this next decade or two.
Where is the gospel in any of these clips? And I guess we must not be really connected to God, because, I mean, that's never happened to me.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess we're just not there yet.
Yeah, we need to press in more. But something that we noticed in both of those clips was is there's kind of this outside of the box mentality, that scripture isn't enough. There has to be signs, visions, extra biblical prophecies. And that's kind of the makeup of this movement. Mark 13:21 through 23 says, "And then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. Christ himself warns against those who lead others away through signs and wonders."
And then in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, you have, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, 'Let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve him,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery, to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst." So even in the Old Testament, we have a clear picture of the dangers with this. Signs and wonders were, number one, a revelation of the power of God. It would cause his children to fear him, to turn from their sin, and to love him with all of his or her heart. There's even a warning here of leading those astray with such signs and wonders. They shall be put to death. We have a declaration to purge the evil from our midst. Brothers and sisters, we don't need signs and wonders to point us to Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. When Christ was on the cross and he declared it is finished, he is declaring that through him, all that needs to be done has been done. We don't need anything but Christ. How are we to know Christ, to understand his message, if we don't look to his word? Healing won't save you. Wonders won't save you. Only Christ can save you. It is about a heart of stone being turned into flesh by the powerful working of Christ. That is the greatest miracle, that a sinner can be made a saint. Even when Jesus did physical signs of healing, it was for one purpose, to proclaim that he was the Christ, and to more than anything, save that person, not of their temporal physical ailment, but to save their wicked hearts.
Amen.
And that's why it's so dangerous, because in those two clips, though I'm sure if you find other clips, they may have a mention here of Christ or so forth, the central part of the message is gone. The foundational part of our faith is lacking. Mm-hmm. It is not there. It is based on those things. These things must come into play. These things are a mark of your faith. These things are what really separates you as a Christian from a non-Christian. But this is not what we see in Scripture.
Yeah. If you go to YouTube or look anywhere online and type in New Apostolic Reformation heresy or any of the like, you're going to find a ton of videos, and if you haven't been exposed to this before, you literally will not believe your eyes. Some of the stuff is just off the wall. I can't even understand how people are sitting under it, because it's just so cult like, and it has no meat to it.
Right. When we read the Berean test earlier about it's a dominionist type of movement, and as you do further research, and I'm sure we'll do further episodes of this in the future, and maybe even get into that part of the NER. Mm-hmm. But the dominionist idea is that their idea is to take over certain, I think what they call is the seven mountains. And one of those biggest things is arts or music. Mm-hmm. And that's what you'll find with the NER a lot of times, is that you take away the music or all these extra things that they're doing, and you really pretty much crush the entire movement, because it's through a lot of emotionalism, a lot of mysticism that's mm-hmm. being produced through their music that they create. Specifically, if you listen to music from Jesus Culture or Bethel, it's a romanticized fantasy mm-hmm. world of, you know, relationship with Christ. Not, you know, we're supposed to be singing truth, because mm-hmm. it's that when we sing truth, when you sing truth with a body of believers, that's what stirs the soul. That's what moves your heart.
Yeah. The final clip that we want to play is from Todd White, who is a charlatan But he's made major waves in the NAR. We found this clip and thought that it showed kind of his quote unquote ministry.
Creation is crying out. All creation is groaning for their father. When you stand before God one day, it's going to be all about what have you done on this earth to reveal the Father. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that you might become something. And if you realize what you've become, you will enter into this love of God that cannot be shaken by any man, woman, or child on this planet.
How's your back and your knees and your feet being on him all the time?
My back?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Okay. Do you have two discs that are bad?
No, I'm okay. I'm just tough, but I have no, like, any note that says I'm tough. I
just your
know.
Back?
I just know I'm
tough. Right here?
Yeah.
So go on the right side?
This one.
Okay. Want to show you something?
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to help you. You want this for me? Here, turn sideways. Right here and right here?
Yeah.
All right. Father, I just thank you right now for all the discs being healed in the mighty name of Yeshua.
Amen.
Is it warm?
It is. You have a good touch, my friend.
I have him. He lives in me.
You have him.
I was a drug addict for 22 years. I got shot at.
He said, follow me, Jesus said. Why would he say those words if we couldn't? Jesus was the Word made flesh. God wants our flesh to become the very Word that we say we know. It's about knowing that he loves you every second of every day. It's about the love of God never, ever being for sale. It's about it not being determined by life and by how life goes. It's just having an encounter with truth of what God says about you. It's about having an encounter with the profuse love of God. It's that love that never leaves. It's the love of God. It's amazing.
Is there anything in your life that you need a miracle for?
Yeah.
What?
My school.
Your school?
Yeah.
People are an opportunity to display that love. See, people want to know how to do the miraculous. I want to know how to do the miracles. No, no, no. I just want to teach you who God says you are, and the miraculous will be a byproduct of who you are. And you'll never gain who you are through the miracle. You'll just be a son that has their father on display, or a daughter that has their father on display. For everywhere you go, you're just the profuse love of God in action.
There again, where is the gospel? Where is the truth that can save people?
Yeah, and you'll notice in a lot of his clips, actually, I don't know if I've even come across where he's actually opened up God's word and actually preached, with expository preaching or exegetically.
Their gospel is
experience.
It's the signs, the wonders, the experience with little to no actual representation of the gospel.
I like how he said he healed. Okay, excuse me, back up. Whether or not he healed, whatever he's doing, he asked, is it warm? Like, that was the mark of something actually happened.
This is all a part of cold readings. It's like,
right. These are charlatan tricks. And this is what's crazy we have to understand. These are not new things. We have, they seem like it because, we can find anything we want on the internet now. You know, look up YouTube, find all these kind of videos on such topics as this. But this has been going on in the church since biblical times, because we have warnings against such things as this in the Bible. It's clearly evident that these things are to be warned against.
True love is that God would make a way to be reconciled to him when there was no way. Christ is the epitome of love. There is no greater love than Christ. This is what all these guys get wrong. Their focus isn't Christ as Lord. Their primary focus is, what can Christ do for me? They're not following the Jesus of the Bible. They're following a made-up version of Christ to suit their selfish desires. There's no talk of sin, no talk of the law of God, and no talk about true gospel salvation.
And that's why it's dangerous. The foundation of our faith is Christ. That's the only way we can be saved. There is none of this. Even when we look at Christ doing miracles in Scripture, We have the healing at the Pool of Bethesda. You know, one of the big things there was that he was going kind of against the Pharisee law, or just the made up law in general at that time for New Covenant believers, was that he was healing on the Sabbath day, and that was a big no-no for the Pharisees. But the big thing here, too, you have to understand is when he's healing the person at the Pool of Bethesda, he tells him to get up and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
He tells him, and then he goes and he tells the people of the day, the Pharisees, he goes that I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this in my name. I'm doing this as a representation of my Father, which is to say that those things is that, one, if the healing is done in Scripture, it's number one done not for the healing purpose, not for the healing sake, mm-hmm. but that those would turn to Christ. That he was representing that I am the Christ. It's the same reason the apostles could do that because they had Christ. They were representing the ministry of Christ. You'll never find healing done for just healing's sake to show that, oh, look what I can do. I mm-hmm. can do this. It is all with the purpose of pointing back to the gospel, all with the purpose of representing Jesus Christ, all with the purpose of showing his glory. And when you find a lot of times with these charlatans, people like that, is that you'll never find, though they may sprinkle Jesus here, may sprinkle some context of truth there, it's all about themselves. It is never with full intent of actually submitting Christ. And Todd White's very good at flipping the switch mm-hmm. because he's using so-called healing or that thereof as a way to manipulate them mm-hmm. into believing something to have their attention, and then flows. You'll find this if you watch the videos, flows this like bait and switch quickly and says, oh, you want to know Jesus? Well, here, let me do a quick, you know, so called conversion. Yeah,
say this
faith.
Prayer with me, right. And you're good.
Because we watched another video you can find of this Chinese or some Asian descent, and he's praying with her. The first thing he does when he goes up is ask to heal, and then you can tell that she doesn't speak very good English, almost like she doesn't fully understand what mm-hmm. he's saying. There's no scripture at all in this interaction. And then he heals, and then he talks to her. And then towards the end of that video, he switches and says, hey, do you want to know Jesus? And you can tell she's like, who?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What are you talking about? She has no idea what context, because the... You know, to understand our need for Christ, we have to understand our depravity, and that begins with the law. There's no talk of that mm-hmm. there. There's no talk of that there. That's why it's so dangerous.
Yeah, we first heard about Todd White. We actually, Cameron and I had a firsthand experience of kind of this movement in action. And we had kind of known about it before this happened, especially through Jesus culture and things of that nature, which we used to listen to a little bit until we started to start picking up on the repetition of some of these, the things that were being sung. And then we heard some great men of God that we trusted, and they exposed the movement and how it all happened and got started. And so anyway, we had an idea, but we Cameron and I were asked to go to this conference in Bogota, Colombia. Mm-hmm. And so we went, and we kind of had an idea that that might be going on with like the NAR kind of stuff, but we weren't for sure. We were just going to lead worship, and man, from the very first day we were there, Cameron and I just started to feel this huge weight of just all the stuff that was being taught. It was weighing heavy on us, and I mean, at one point, I was really considering just not playing anymore.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this before, and every time we kind of tell this story, it was the darkest spiritual, like I could feel how evil mm-hmm. it was. And I've never had a true experience like that where I felt like this is so wrong. Yeah. Like, this is evil. Like, I had a true discernment on my heart from the Holy Spirit that this is all wrong. This is bad. This is dark. And like you said, we kind of had an idea. I mean, through Come and Live, we've watched a few documentaries and stuff mm-hmm. that they put out. But, you know, I guess at that point for me too, I was kind of trying to have like a more positive, okay, well, maybe because we hadn't ever spoken to Chad Johnson this time of this in person, so I didn't want to like fully judge what was going on, but yeah, he's pretty much like a
carbon copy of Todd White. That's how we found out about Todd White. Chad Johnson, the guy who was over Come and Live, who came to speak at this event, which was put on by Come and Live. Basically, everything he says and did, he would always go back to his mentor, Todd White. And anyway, one of the things that many of these people do, and Todd White is a big proponent of this, is this thing called leg growing. And we had already been really exhausted just by this whole experience. And then this one night, Chad does that. And this is a full of people who don't speak any English. And they're probably really
susceptible.
Yeah. They're really susceptible to whatever, like these quote unquote Christians from America coming in. So it's in the light of that. And they might have never heard a true biblical gospel. Well, they just take this as what it is. And they think, oh, well, that sounds good, you know, to be healed if people are actually hurting. And it's so manipulative and such a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to wave that banner.
Yeah. It's prostituting the gospel.
Yeah.
It's prostituting real truth. I mean, it's funny because we go back to the first clip with Glory Cloud. He says, we're not trying to prostitute. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're doing. You're prostituting it by having all these extra things that are, well, nonsensical anyway. Mm-hmm. And then to do that, and that was what frustrated me the most, was that we barely knew any Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So we, for a period of there, I felt just lost. I felt helpless. You know, I felt helpless because I had never felt that way before, where I wanted to stand up and just completely and utterly call heresy, you know, call hypocrisy here for this teaching. This, what was going on, was completely heretical. It was just bad. It was dangerous and bad.
So Chad that night asked someone, so they do that, you know, cold read. I sent someone in the crowd who has a problem with their leg, which is okay. Well, now he can do this. It's a parlor trick. It's common. It's been done for forever. It's this trick, leg growing. So you get someone to come up and you put them in a position where there's something wrong with their leg, and granted, there might be something wrong with someone's leg, but he gets them to put their legs up, and he motions their heel out of their shoe or whatever in such a way, and I don't know all the details, but there's videos explaining how that leg growing is done if you want to look on YouTube. But basically, so just makes this happen, and it gives this illusion to the people that have come up to say, oh my goodness, something happened, and then proceeds to act like that was all normal and like that was a healing and now awesome.
Yeah.
So Cameron and I were in the back when that was happening, and I was just so upset. Like, I've never felt such a weight in my life of like,
well, he was doing that to demonstrate to the people who were at this conference how to do it. Cause then they went out that night to try to do it. Remember, they were having that, cause they went to that fountain and stuff, and he was around the fountain trying to show this, almost like, this is what the Great Commission is, is healing. It's not even the proclamation of the gospel. Almost teaching these people, this is how you go about doing this and how you fulfill this in your ministry, and then and so on and so forth. And they showed the Holy Ghost movies while we were there.
And to people in the congregation that might have never heard the true biblical gospel, have, you know, no understanding really, they look at this as the representation of Christianity, and it's very alluring to them, because take someone that's in the secular world. I mean, they want signs, they want wonders to put meat to something to believe.
And here's the thing with the majority of those videos and things you see online, it is usually to people who are more susceptible to those type of manipulations, because you won't find a video where someone who is sound and teaching, right, being swayed by charlatans like this. It's always those who are more susceptible. And sadly, it is truly a taking advantage of people. Needless to say, a lot went on at that during that conference. It was like 3 days for us. There was a bit of light there. We met another band there who was from Argentina who actually didn't agree with a lot of that stuff either. So that was a bit of hope there in the midst of like complete darkness. But on the ride back, on the flight back, I think we sent Chad an email.
I think I did.
Yeah. Just telling how we couldn't be a part of that, how we saw it, you know, anti-biblical, anti-Christ in a lot of ways. And so we had a firsthand experience with that, and it really laid on our hearts this desire to really speak out about that pretty boldly, because we got to see how dangerous it is firsthand. So with all of this, again, the purpose of this and understanding why it is dangerous is because it's taking away from the most important part of who we are as Christians, Christ.
Yeah.
Christ should be central to everything we do. The gospel, we can never move away from the gospel. If you're at a church and they're just tired of the gospel, if they've just pretty much said, well, we've done that part, we're going to move away from it, then they're missing it. Because the entire story of God's whole entire plan laid out in Scripture is of Christ. It is a pointing to Christ. It is epitomizing Christ. It is putting Christ on a pedestal. That's the point. That is the point of the Word of God. So you can never move away from that. And when the gospel is not preached, when the Bible is not preached, then there is no true salvation. There is no true salvation.
And we understand that, we're working with limited time on this particular episode, so we can't really go to the depths of this movement. But if you have questions or comments, reach out to us, and we'll try to point you to some good resources that can shed light.
Go to our website, wetheexiles.com. Find the resources tab. Click on this. I'm going to put some videos. One we did with a man named Justin Peters. We did a video with him talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a great resource. His whole ministry is a great resource, and I'll put some links in those resources to him as well, so you can find out more about this movement and the dangers of it. Chandler, how do I stay connected to all things We the Exiles?
Super easy. Remember this, at We the Exiles. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter using that handle, at We the Exiles. Also, don't forget to check out our website at www.wetheexiles.com.
To find all the additional resources used on We the Exiles, head on over to www.wetheexiles.com and click on the Resources tab. www.wetheexiles.com and click on the Resources tab.
Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
We're going to be, for the dessert today, we're going to be looking at 2 Peter Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So if you have a Bible, we'd love for you to join us. If not, you can listen. We need to find a way to put this on the screen. Maybe I'll do that in future episodes. But 2 Peter, chapter 2, 1 through 3, it says, "There were indeed false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, and will bring swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved ways, and the way of truth will be maligned because of them. They will exploit you in their greed with made-up stories, and their condemnation pronounced long ago is not idle, and the destruction does not sleep." I don't think it can be any more clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of the clearest passages on that. Just as there are will be false teachers among you, they will bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them. So it's crazy because that's really only one step away removed. They may not physically say that they deny Christ, but they're close. They're getting close to that because really they're only one step away. I mean, heresy begets heresy. It only continues.
Yeah.
It's not like it. You continue in heresy and you're going to finally get to truth.
No. Well, and that's how the deception happens. There's a little truth mixed in. And so what you have is...
Yeah, a little deception makes the deception acceptable.
And so you might have, people young in their faith or maybe coming to the faith and, they don't understand. They've never been told that there's going to be people deceiving them like that. And they are attracted to it because a lot of these people are really nice or they're really loving
people. It's not about their character. I'm sure even Todd White, I mean, he's probably the nicest guy you've ever met.
Yeah, and then that's a part of their deception. And so there's a little truth mixed in. People hear God's name. People hear Jesus. People hear Christianity. People hear, other biblical words. And they think, oh, yeah, this is right. This is right. And they see all these things. And it's never really questioned. And what our plea is, please don't. And even with us, watching us or watching anyone, please don't just watch things or sit under things and just take it for what it is. Always go back to scripture and look at what the word says compared to what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. Also through prayer, the Lord will enlighten you to these things. The Lord will give you a confirmation in your spirit, whether this is right or wrong. But you got to be in the word. You got to be truly in the word.
You have to. And like you're saying, this even applies to the more well-known, sitting under the more well-known biblical teachers, some who we share quite a bit on this show. It's not that it's their teaching that we just flock to and we take everything they say at their word. Majority of the time, while we continue to use some of them, is because when we do listen to a sermon by them and we examine what's being said according to God's word, we see it being unfolded completely the way it was meant to be taught, which is why we would rather align ourselves with true biblical teachers than not. You need to be able to explain the truth from the truth. That's the point. And that's why we get to contradictions and heresies and things like that, is because we either A, are eisegesis, which is we are reading ourselves into the text to try to fit our agenda, or exegesis, which means we're reading out of the text what is in the text, and that is shaping our views. Yeah. That is shaping what we're being taught, and that is what we're trying to align to. You can't read, even if you're going through a hard time and you're trying to find truth and stuff like that, you cannot read your own experience, what you're going through, or what you feel into the Word of God. That is the improper way of looking at God's word. You have to interpret scripture by scripture. It has to come from scripture, and then from that, let that shape, let that change. And another thing, he referred to, I believe it was Todd White. I don't know if it was in this or another clip that we were watching earlier when we were preparing for this, but love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is the greatest commandment. Mind is in there for a reason, because that means thought. It's not just some mindlessness that we give over to. We are supposed to think. God is a God of intellect. To know true knowledge is the fear of God is, the true knowledge is the fear of God, right? And so, and clearly, God is above all things. I mean, you read his word, you see how masterful of a planner he is. He is sovereign.
Yeah.
And he's not just a mindless God. He's thoughtful. He's processed. He has everything according to the way he wants to be. So when we read the Word of God, we don't come to the Word of God with this just mindless feeling, or to come to the Word of God with trying to feel. There is emotion. Christians are not emotionless people, but it's not emotion that dictates our relationship with God, because there are many days when you may not feel close to the Lord. We've experienced this a lot. We've written songs about this a lot in the past, but that doesn't dictate my relationship with God necessarily. What that does is it should, at that moment, just like it does with David, it should cause me to want to go to his word to find him again. That's the point. That is the point. You want to know the Lord. He's given us this amazing, incredible book. And again, I want to say this too, just we do talk a lot about the Bible. The reason we're doing that so much is not because we hold the Bible above the Trinity. It is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Absolutely. But the Bible is the thing being questioned the most today. It's the standards that God has set for us in His Scripture that are being questioned in our culture the most today. Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot about the Bible because it is important that we get back to understanding that. You're not going to know God. You're not going to know Jesus, and you're certainly not going to know the true representation of the Holy Spirit until you go to where it's explained.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the Word. Not from feeling, not from our own understanding, but from God Himself.
Yeah.
And we need to get back to that. That's why we're calling our generation back to that, to love God's Word, to know God's Word, and to uphold the standards that God has laid out in His Word. I do want to say again a thank you, a tremendous thank you to our Patreon supporters. We talked about Mug Talk in the appetizer segment. It's what we release on Tuesdays following our main podcast broadcast of We the Exiles, and it's exclusive to Patreon supporters. We do that because we want to create content that's exclusive to those who are supporting this ministry, and that's one way to do that. So that's released on Tuesdays. If you want to hear what we're discussing in Mug Talk, you can do so by becoming an exile, by becoming a Patreon supporter with us. And again, you will find all that at patreon.com/WeTheExiles.
Well, we are really appreciative of you joining us today on our show. We hope that it has been informational and maybe you've benefited from, seeing some of these things. Again, feel free to reach out to us at our website, wetheexiles.com, and go follow us on our social links as well. Subscribe to our channel here, and we'll see you guys next week. Until then, fight the good fight, look to Christ. This is We the Exiles.